Welcome to BrandBots, an AI marketing podcast designed to teach you practical strategies for implementing AI into your marketing business. I'm your host, Nick Taylor. Today, we're speaking with Caleb Ward, the mind behind Curious Refuge, a company that stands at the forefront of integrating AI into creative filmmaking, marketing, and education. Caleb has spent over a decade in filmmaking across editing, production, animation, and visual effects pipelines. His journey took a significant turn with the advent of generative AI, leading him to explore its capabilities in storytelling, all of which culminated into the creation of multiple viral videos, some of which you may have seen. These include Barbenheimer, Star Wars by Wes Anderson, Lord of the Rings by Wes Anderson, and Avatar by Wes Anderson, among many others. Caleb then pivoted his learnings and his passion for democratizing AI filmmaking techniques into the founding of Curious Refuge, an online academy of courses designed to teach advanced AI filmmaking with courses from people including Caleb himself and Dave Clark, who's appeared on the show multiple times. With students in over 109 countries, Curious Refuge has become a real beacon for those looking for in-depth and cutting-edge knowledge of AI in filmmaking and advertising. In addition to its courses, of which I am a very happy student, one of the other amazing things about Curious Refuge is its global community. There's a real spirit of sharing within Curious Refuge, and this community is dedicated to creating a collective repository of knowledge, with members sharing discoveries and innovations in AI in real time. Members are not making these grand discoveries and then keeping them secret, but instead freely sharing them within the community, so everyone can learn together in real time, which is very rare and very extraordinary. In this episode, Caleb discusses the importance of community in navigating the rapidly evolving landscape of AI, as well as the potential of AI to democratize creativity. We also get into the origin story of Curious Refuge, and we get into some of Caleb's favorite AI life hacks. All of this and so much more on today's episode of BrandBots. This episode starts now. Caleb, how you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. Thank you so much for having me on.
No, of course. Of course. Thanks for being here. I feel like as far as AI and filmmaking, you are in a very, very wonderful place with Curious Refuge. Before we get into the company, how you guys operate and what you do, would love to get into how the company started. I know you have a big background in effects pipelines and workflows and a lot of VFX in your background. Could you tell us your overall origin story and how it led to the founding of Curious Refuge?
Of course, yeah. So Curious Refuge really was founded as a side project. Like so many creative people, you had a full-time job and then you had some sort of creative outlet on the side. And my full-time job for the last, about 10 years now, has been in supporting and assisting artists in their creative journeys. And so that has ranged from creating tutorials about like video editing and camera and production techniques, all the way to animation and visual effects pipelines. And so we've helped run animation schools, VFX schools, and really empower artists to contextualize technology in their workflows. And that transitioned perfectly into, you know, the adoption of generative AI. Most creative people, I was very curious about early iterations of DALL-E and Midjourney and, you know, using it as a novelty. At first, it was just, you know, creating little Renaissance paintings of my dog Chester. And, you know, it was cute, but like, you know, it wasn't ready for a large scale professional context. It was just kind of gimmicky, like, you know, any other fun creative app that you would use. But in March of 2023, everything changed. That's whenever we got ChatGPT-3, I believe. Yes, ChatGPT-3 or GPT-4, whichever one. I think it was GPT-4. And then we got Midjourney 5. And each one of those updates were a huge improvement in the overall quality of what we were getting from generative AI. And we had begun to see some online AI video concepts like the Harry Potter Balenciaga video that began to not only go viral, but it began to get people excited about the idea of certain creative projects through entirely AI-generated visuals. And so I was really curious. I wanted to run an experiment. I was wondering what the limits were with AI storytelling. And so I told myself this experiment had just two rules. The first rule is I had to use AI as much as possible. So AI to generate the idea, script, visuals, movement, all of those things. And then I could only use a tool that was widely available and accessible to most people. So I just used a laptop with no big fancy editing tools. I wasn't going into like Houdini or Nuke or like one of these like high-end, you know, applications that takes years to master. And basically put together a film concept. That was the Star Wars by Wes Anderson film that went viral. Is like using it lightly. I feel like going viral and it being fun is one thing, and then going viral and it opening up a cultural conversation is another thing. And so, you know, it was kind of overnight, you know, major news outlets reaching out and saying, you know, incredible job on that project. What is the future of Hollywood? You know? And so it was a very quick adoption, like an elevation into the role of, you know, AI figurehead. But honestly, my background in contextualizing technical tools and really my and Shelby, who's my wife and co-founder's vision for using these tools, is really their creative assistants. And you know, with every technological change, we have our natural reaction and our understandable reaction is to have fear because we don't like change as humans. But we believe that the opposite of fear is curiosity. And so we want to press into just this new world and this new creative renaissance that we're going through with curiosity to see what is possible, to see what is not possible. And we think that if people who have artistic skills or creative vision approach these tools and learn to use them for themselves, that we will see incredible things. And so basically, from those early days, we founded an AI filmmaking course, and it was wildly popular. And from there, we have students in over 109 countries all around the world. Our students land jobs every single day. We get emails from employers that are like, oh my God, I love your students. I love the skills that they've learned. And the funny thing is these students, they range from, you know, we're training the Academy and Netflix right now, all the way to, there was a guy who went through our program just 9 months ago. He was in dentistry. Whoa. And now he has a full-time job as an AI filmmaker. Whoa. And so there's so many cool opportunities for people that have always dreamed of being in a creative world.
Yeah.
And we are now hosting meetups all around the world. We had one in San Francisco last week. London's coming up in a couple weeks. We did Las Vegas 2 weeks ago, and that had, I think, like 450 people in attendance. So it's a growing movement. Our community is huge, and we're trying to be the safe and the knowledgeable resource that people can go to just learn about these tools.
Awesome. And you have multiple courses, most of which are in filmmaking, but you also have an advertising course coming out as well. Is that right?
That's correct. Yeah. So we started in filmmaking, but a lot of times filmmakers, they also have full-time jobs typically in marketing and advertising. It totally makes sense. You know, we always like to say one for the meal, one for the reel. And, you know, it's really important, I think, for people to not only think about what they could do with AI as storytellers, but also how can you serve clients and how can you create dynamic advertisements and marketing strategy and funnels, and it's just all of the technical side of developing a well-crafted marketing strategy using artificial intelligence. And so we released AI advertising with Dave Clark, who I believe has been on your podcast.
Been on the show twice.
Love Dave. Dave is amazing, just a wicked talented filmmaker and advertiser. And he was kind enough to come into the Curious Refuge ecosystem and be the primary instructor on that course. And the course is super beloved. People are finding opportunities and really saying that it's like the training that they were missing during this whole AI adoption cycle. And so it's been amazing. We're only on month number two of that program. But the result that the students are making, I get a little jealous. Like sometimes I see their work and I'm like, dang it. Like the student is already better than the master because they're just like creating incredible things. So yeah, it's really fun.
Well, I've heard you talk previously about in this AI revolution, to be not really hyperbolic, but to be frank, the importance of sharing your workflows, sharing your discoveries, instead of having this sort of scarcity mindset. Like, I came up with this. This is my way of doing it. I'm not going to share the secret sauce. But you advocate for a future where AI filmmakers and just people using and experimenting with AI do all collectively share their discoveries, which I think will pave the way for us going so far together. I mean, enabling more of a community around it. Can you discuss what your Curious Refuge community is like in terms of people coming up with workflows, sharing them, iterating on each other's stuff? Because it sounds like it could enable somebody who's curious to joining this community and just quantum leaping what they're capable of, because it's all of these people collectively together learning from each other and like exponentially getting better, which is super exciting.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think it is vitally important to have a creative community that is supporting you as we move into this new tech forward creative world.
Yeah,
because things change, there's workflows, it's challenging. You know, I don't know if you've ever tried to learn like a technical software, like
could
be Adobe Photoshop or Premiere or After Effects, like whatever it is. 9 times out of 10, you sit down to learn, you're very gung-ho, and then you have a question. Where do you go? You go to Google, you type in, you know, your search, and then usually it's like a 14-year-old in his mom's basement that creates like a video tutorial that like teaches you how to do something. You're like, thanks. That creative support network is essential, has been essential, but as we move forward, just having people that you can, you know, bounce ideas off of. And inside of the Curious Refuge community, we have a chat channel where we ask each other questions, and people are coming into this from all sorts of different perspectives. So some people are coming from like a VFX supervision and a very high-end mindset as it relates to approaching stories. And then other people are coming in and they're completely new and they don't even know, hey, what's the best video editing tool to use? And so all of those questions are able to be answered and discussed and debated inside of the Curious Refuge community. And so I think it's really important to have a group of people like that, even if you're not a part of the Curious Refuge community, just a group of people that are just, you know, willing to press into new technologies, are knowledgeable to answer your questions. And, you know, the creative solutions that people come up with for, you know, getting their AI projects out there are really vast. And, you know, it's a new creative idea every single day. But the cool thing is, it's like, if you can imagine it, there's a good chance it can be accomplished now through tools that don't require a ton, like a year or two of learning to use them. It may require a few days to get up to speed. But if you have the right people pointing you in the right direction, you can do just about anything with AI at this point.
Yeah. I feel like the community element is so critical. So to have access to the Curious Refuge community, you essentially need to join one of your courses, right? And then is it a Discord? Where does the community kind of, where do people get access to the community?
Yes. Yeah. So when you join a course at Curious Refuge, you get access to the Discord community, and we have channels for, you know, discussing the latest AI tools, meetups and events. My personal favorite channel is the one where we share pictures of our pets. That's a very essential channel. And
why not?
We have channels for, you know, sharing music and film. And really, it's a community. It's what you'd want out of a friend group. And that's what we're hoping to build at Curious Refuge. And really, what we feel like we have is a big group of friends that are helping each other.
It's
like we don't want to create a corporate environment. We don't want to create a hierarchical structure. We want to be basically a creative clubhouse that people can come together and, you know, share creative ideas.
That's awesome. So from where I'm sitting, I see AI as an incredible tool for artists, where if you can think of something, you can come up with a visual for it really, really rapidly and iterate on it and dial in every last detail of your idea. And for filmmakers, it's incredible for previs and for making storyboards and for creating rip-o-matics, where people used to just rip from movies. Now you can just kind of make your own. I mean, it's incredible for just getting creative projects off the ground. But I do think a lot of people are having this sort of creative existential crisis around AI. Is it going to replace the human element that is at the core of creativity, that is basically indicative of creative projects and creative endeavors having a element of humanity that people can recognize that makes, like, when people see movies, read books, a lot of times the draw is the fact that it makes them feel understood, and it teaches them something about the human condition. There's an empathic element of creativity and storytelling that I think a lot of people are afraid is going to get automated with AI. And what is your response to those kind of concerns that the human element is going to be basically taken out of the equation with AI? It's not what I think, but it's a pretty common opinion. How do you respond to that?
And that is one of the best questions that you could ask as it relates to the adoption of AI tools and its relationship with creativity. So I appreciate you being willing to go down this rabbit hole. I think there's kind of two points. Point number one is where we're at today, and then point number two is just slightly more in the future. The first point really is that AI tools, currently, there is no job that AI could just fully automate and replace at this point in a filmmaking or advertising pipeline. It requires, if someone is doing something with AI that is meaningful, there is skill and there is prompting and there is direction that is happening. And so, whether it's, everything from going in and doing pre-vids, like you said, to create storyboards, to working through script outline ideas or casting, all of these things require a human to go in. And that human taste and your ability to pick and choose the generations or the outputs that make the most sense for your story requires a person. AI doesn't really have taste. It's just statistics and data that's making decisions, but it's not building on its own experience or the emotions behind your personal experience and how that relates to other people. So at this point, it's very much a human process. And, anyone that begins to try to create an AI advertisement or film will quickly realize, oh, it requires, skills. And some people perhaps get discouraged whenever they realize oh, you mean I can't just type in a prompt and watch a movie? What are you talking about? And we're well, that's not very interesting anyways, because some of the tools that are out there that allow you to type in prompts and begin to see early iterations of videos or film concepts, they're not very good. They're not emotionally resonant at this point. And so I think that it really, as we're thinking about storytelling going forward, a big part of this adoption cycle is going to be really personally, using your taste and trying to pick and choose the outputs to build a better story. And I think the human stories are going to be the better stories. And that's not to say that in the future there will likely be music that's custom tailored to how you're feeling in the moment. And there may be some film concepts that begin to become automated. But I think ultimately, just like if you went to a concert and there was a song that was playing that only one person knew, that would be a very boring experience. You wouldn't feel connected to that. Even you might personally get amusement from that, but you're not going to sing along to a song that only was created for one person. The same is true for film. It's a conversation. Part of the beauty of film is having the opportunity to join in conversation with other people about the film and what it means about our role as humans. And so I think you have to have humans putting that content out there. You have to have humans interpreting that meaning, and it will continue to be a very human process.
Yeah. I mean, I think the fear is that AI is going to take over films where people will just prompt an entire movie. And I don't think anybody's going to see those movies. They'll be fun, maybe, but it's going to be empty calories for a lot of people. A movie that is completely generated by AI that doesn't have a ton of human oversight. And I think when people fear that sort of, Terminator future for movies, I think of the fact that people still go to concerts because they want to see people doing things live. They want to see real people, real time, with a shared community doing things live. That's why people still go to the theater, whether it's movie theaters or plays. We have movies. Why do we need to watch humans doing a story every single night? It's because it's meaningful. We want to see real live human performances. We want to see the nuances of how they convey emotions. We want to see that people were capable of having an entire play's worth of dialogue memorized and they can do a raw performance in real time. That still matters. Plays aren't going anywhere. So I don't think traditional filmmaking is going anywhere either. I see this as a really, for lack of a better term, glorified version of CGI in a way, although it has a ton of other applications, but I mean, I think that the human element of creativity and entertainment is not going anywhere. People still like paintings, even though there is digital art nowadays. You know, none of this stuff has really gone anywhere when you think about it. None of the human made stuff. And I personally don't think it will.
I wholeheartedly agree with you. Theater box office revenues are higher than ever before, and people really crave authentic human experiences. Mm-hmm. And so if you think about how can we combine AI tools and the worlds that we can build with AI with traditional processes like, you know, a typical film cinematography pipeline, you know, maybe we are able to shoot interior shots and the scenes and the dialogue and the real deep human performance for less and mm-hmm. build the worlds using AI for way less than what we would normally do with a VFX pipeline. And so, you know, it allows more independent productions to get their stories out there. It allows for more productions from areas that are underfunded to get their ideas out there. And so I think what we're really going to see over the next few years is truly the best storytellers will tell the best stories.
100%.
And I think that is an amazing thing. And the best storytellers, they may live out here in Hollywood, but I have a nagging suspicion that there are a lot of great storytellers that haven't been able to tell film stories because they just didn't have the opportunity open to them. And I think that's what AI is doing.
No, for sure. I think it's going to level the playing field, and the best idea is going to win. The cream is going to rise to the top for sure. So what do you think are some of the new skills required of people who are predominantly using AI tools? What, because I think a lot of people, again, think that AI does all of the work for you, but it doesn't. It automates and does a lot of things for you, but there's still really important skills that I think people do need to develop. Taste being one of them, obviously prompt engineering. But what are some of the skills that you think people who are successfully using AI in a filmmaking or advertising context need to have?
Yes, absolutely. What's really interesting is I think it's very important to have a foundational understanding of the current pipeline so that you can know where to integrate AI, because there's kind of two different routes that are popping up. The first is using AI just to assist with each aspect of the production process, right? So production, just so we're all on the same page, typically you got pre-production, production, post-production, and then marketing and distribution. And each step kind of waterfalls into the next step. And, you know, we can start at the beginning and just think about, you know, ideation, casting, script development, storyboards, all of those things, rip reels, like what you were talking about in the pre-production phase. And then you can use AI basically at every step of the process. And then you have this entirely different track, which is an AI generated film that uses AI visuals alone, and it's not, you know, going through that traditional pipeline. And I'd say, depending on the route that you're taking, it requires different tools and a different set of skills. So, you know, for the people that are, you know, in the current Hollywood ecosystem, I think it really just requires a little bit of curiosity to press into your specific function. So whether you are a screenwriter, it's like, it's very obvious, like, okay, maybe you need to take a look at some large language models and see what is possible and not possible. And what I think you'll more than likely find is that, oh, the outputs aren't great, but they do help me spur some ideas that are great. And it's just a back and forth experience. And so, you know, I'd say, like, finding your vertical and, you know, exploring what could be possible in that space is very important. So for camp number one, it's just curiosity. For camp number two, there's like some very specific tools and skills that you can develop. Yes, with prompting, with developing your taste, like you said, because it's so important to have taste. And that's what a director ultimately does, right? Yeah. Like, we have taste and experience, and we're pushing stories in certain directions. And that is...
Excuse me.
That's you. Thank you. No, you're good. I'll start that sentence so you can have a good point.
Thanks.
As directors, we have taste and skill, and we're able to rely on our previous experience in order to tell compelling stories. And, you know, there's the very, you know, real hard skills, like, you know, having skills with AI tools like Runway, or maybe it's Midjourney, Adobe Firefly, ChatGPT, and then, like, just practical editing skills in an editing application, whether it's DaVinci Resolve or Adobe Premiere Pro. using all of those skills combined, you can begin to create really compelling commercial content or film content. And, you know, staying up to date on the tools is really important. And so I would definitely recommend people watch our AI film news segment that we release every week, which is, you know, just a deep dive into what the most important tools are.
Nice. Yeah, I'm a big fan of that myself.
Awesome. I'm sorry that you have to look at my my mug for like 20 minutes each week, but it's fun. I honestly, it's really geeky, and I'm just waiting for the episode where I like have to like just log on. I'm like, guys, actually, it was a really slow week. There wasn't a lot of development, but every single week it seems like there's more and more stories to talk about, and it's just it's overwhelming for folks. And
that's pretty insane. I mean, like I watch, I'm sure you watch Matt Wolf every week. It's like, this is going to change everything and revolutionary. And it seems hyperbolic, but it's accurate. You know, it's just, it's such an insane time period right now. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. We had Matt Wolf on our podcast actually yesterday.
Oh, nice.
It was really cool.
I got to check that out.
Yeah. Yeah. He's obviously very talented. And I think he's like the most popular AI influencer on YouTube, which is awesome.
Yeah. That sounds about right.
A central resource. Like if you're eating lunch and you don't have anything to watch, instead of going to TikTok, go watch Matt Wolf's channel and you'll get up to speed on everything.
Yeah. No, he's great at just keeping you up to date on AI news and contextualizing it in terms of, okay, this is why this matters. And it relates to this that happened 3 weeks ago. I mean, yeah, he's so on top of it. Yeah. Yeah. He must've been an incredible guest. I got to check that out.
Yes. And like so many other people in the AI space, it's like your full-time job is basically staying up to date on all of this stuff. And
yeah.
And the only reason you can do it is because you enjoyed it already. You know, like it's a lot. It's like being a journalist, staying up to date on all of this stuff. But, you know, for Matt, for me, we were already looking at all these tools before it was part of our job.
Yeah.
And so we just, you know, we love it and we love contextualizing. It's just, you know, for me, just as fun as creating a film.
Nice. Nice. So in addition to obviously you have customers who buy the courses and who are part of the community, do you have clients as well? Do you have like, I'm sure you consult and you have, you go in and you speak with large companies.
We do.
What has it been like for companies who are starting now, who are building a production company, a marketing company, or any sort of new entrepreneurial venture building on top of AI or building using AI as the foundation of a new company? Are you seeing like a real acceleration in how fast people are able to bring their company to like a cruising altitude? I mean, what's it like for those just starting out using AI as their foundation?
Yeah, absolutely. I think if you are founding a company and you're one of the core parts of the founding is to integrate AI into your processes, I think you are at a huge advantage from companies that are going to be resistant because there's going to be fear with every employee. Everybody's going to go through the same, you know, adoption cycle. It's like we're still, you can look at the curve, like we're very early still. And so we still have to go through the adoption of letting all of the employees at any company understand how AI can assist their workflow. But for Curious Refuge, you know, I would say our company was very much founded off of using AI to help and assist us with every aspect, like not just, you know, creativity and filmmaking, but really every aspect of the formation of our company. And, you know, our company was just a side project. Like this is just a complete side project 1 year ago.
Wow.
And now we have, like I said, students in over 109 countries. We speak at every major, you know, film events, have empowered thousands of people. We've collaborated with every major studio. And it's because we are not operating in fear or scarcity. We're just pushing into curiosity and what could be possible. And so I have a friend who had a full-time job, was looking to start his own studio and said, you know what, I'll do an AI advertising company.
Okay.
He started one of the first AI commercial production companies and within a month had far more clients than he could ever.
Wow.
Had employees. And it was a very quick propulsion. And it's because he took his existing skills, his existing taste, and his existing business understanding, integrated it with AI and stopped overthinking it. And that's like a huge part of it. You know, at Curious Refuge, we're very much like, you know, done is better than perfect. Let's get stuff out there. Let's iterate. Let's learn through iteration as opposed to trying to create like a perfect thing. So, you know, if anyone is listening to this podcast, let's say you're in advertising and you've wanted to create your own studio or business, you know, use an easy tool, like get a landing page up there, use AI to help you generate the artwork or the visuals for your website, which is what I do all the time. And really just start making offers and, you know, start reaching out to clients and talk about, you know, how perhaps you could use AI to help them to get projects out faster or to explore new creative opportunities. And so I think, you know, AI is going to be a continue to be a very, very hot buzzword until quantum computing, you know, is popularized to 18 months, 24 months from now. And so and AI is not going anywhere even after, you know, we get into quantum computing. It's just going to empower our AI systems even more. So I think like there are so many opportunities out there. And so like if you just press into it, yes, try to get your in-house people on board at, you know, your job or the company that you currently have, but also like push into it personally and see what opportunities open up to you.
Are you at liberty to say the name and company name of your friend who started that advertising company?
Funny enough, his name is Matan Cohen Grummy, who he basically was a rock star, like a literal rock star, toured for like 25 years.
Whoa.
Broke up the band. You know, you can't do that for very long. So like broke up the band and he decided to, he's like, okay, what's next? And you know, he's artistic. He has taste. And so he started like messing around with some of these AI tools, started doing some videos and had some experience as a director, like a commercial director. And so basically he put out an agency, had employees, like was doing some incredible things. And then he actually got hired after that because he was doing work that was so awesome. He's now the creative director of Pika Labs.
Oh, wow.
And so, yeah. So like he's just doing it, an amazing job, killing it. We actually interviewed him over on our podcast. I think it was like 3 or 4 episodes ago.
Nice.
It's a great episode and really fascinating to see someone transition their career so dramatically.
Yeah.
But then find so much success in the process.
Nice. So as a company, where do you guys lean into automation? I mean, beyond, you know, the filmmaking side of things, if we're talking strictly in an entrepreneurial business admin sense, how do you approach approach automation as a business owner?
Oh yeah, we are really big into automation, whether it is through you know, traditional automation, mm-hmm. like, you know, email nurturing and, you know, funnels and all of those, you know, we'll call them like HubSpot style, like marketing right. automations, all the way to just making sure we're using the right tools. So for example, you know, just from an admin perspective, whether we're doing something as benign and normal as doing payroll to, you know, taxes or anything else, we always ask ourselves, are we complicating the process by involving people that are intentionally complicating the process to make money? Does that make sense?
100%.
So many professionals, I'm going to use air quotes here because they are professionals, but they're professional at intentionally complicating things so that they can get more money from you.
Arsonists disguised as firemen.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yes. There are so many people like that in the business world. And it's so important to us to use the right tools to automate as much as possible so that we can focus on what we do well, which I would not say is administration or payroll or anything like that. It's right. being creatives, right? It's being people that are contextualizing AI tools. And so, you know, we use like, for example, like Gusto, which is like an admin tool that like is really automated and, you know, does all the paperwork for us and like oh, nice. Automates like talking to like government agencies, like all of that wow. boring stuff that nobody wants to do. It like does it for you. And so we're just all about finding ways to optimize that. And as a team, we use Notion to keep track of most of the processes, and Notion is like absolutely my second brain. And it's great because they integrated AI. And so, you know, everything, like I keep my journal in Notion, like my personal journal, and I can just ask it, you know, using AI, like, hey, what are some like reoccurring themes here? And it's like, hey, you've been talking about like hitting the gym more for like 2 years now, like get off the couch, buddy, and like go out there.
Oh,
man. All the way to just business stuff where, you know, I can ask it, you know, what did everybody do today? and it'll just give me a rundown at the end of the day of like all of the tasks and what meetings happened. And so it's really helpful for keeping track of everything and not keeping everything in your head. So I definitely recommend using that.
I use Notion and I use it to journal too, but then I'll find like, I will journal about the same things for days. Sometimes I'll look back like, oh, where was I a year ago, a month ago? But I should use the AI function and say, do the same thing. What are the recurring themes? What do you think I should do based on all the shit that I'm talking about?
Yes. That's awesome. AI therapist. Let's go.
I heard that you cloned your therapist with AI.
I did. Yeah. I cloned my therapist. I've cloned like all of my, my creative heroes, like Walt Disney, using AI to, yep, you know, kind of use it as a springboard. I'm not saying to clone your therapist, like go to a real therapist.
Well, can you tell us how?
Yeah, I mean, you can use ChatGPT to clone, and if you have any sort of training data, you can upload, you know, documentation or communication that you've had with really anybody or anybody throughout history, and it can clone the likeness and the way in which that person talks. And so, you know, it's interesting because, you know, in one sense, I think that, you know, we need, obviously, like, we need very skilled people like therapists, yep, to, you know, help guide people through like the complexities of life. And that's a beautiful thing. But in the other sense, I think when people like therapists or doctors or any other, you know, person that's in a much more important field than I'm in, whenever they utilize AI in their work, even their work can be improved.
Oh, yeah.
We've been messing around with tools that can understand the underlying emotion in your voice better than a human could ever, whoa, recognize. And so it can understand like, oh, there's actually like a tinge of anxiety there.
Hmm.
And a little bit of resignation, and it can help therapists and doctors understand more about their patients.
Right.
And so there's something there that I think like, even in some fields that you might think like should be the most human, I think whenever you integrate some tools, it can actually help those humans go deeper down emotional rabbit holes and do their job even better.
Nice. Well, two of my personal heroes are Steve Jobs and Quentin Tarantino, and I would like to clone both of them in AI. So can you tell us your workflow for cloning Walt Disney?
Cloning Walt Disney. Yeah. I mean, there's many ways that you could do it. You know, the first and easiest way is literally you can go to ChatGPT and you can be like, hey, you are now Walt Disney. I want you to only give me advice based on historical knowledge and words that were spoken by Walt Disney. And then I would probably negative prompt and say, I don't want conjecture about what Walt Disney said or did. I only want your training to be based on direct quotes that we have of him. So it's like the most true to the words that he spoke. And then, you know, you'll have your own little Walt Disney there, and, you know, you can get the ChatGPT app on your phone, which is great because you can have verbal conversations. And so that's great because you can just, you know, I'll be driving in my car and I'll just be like talking with, you know, AI through everything from business problems to creative issues. And it's really, really amazing. And the growth in AI avatars, whether it's, you know, creative assistants. And I know that there's like some creepy, I'm not for this, but like some creepy like relationship AI things that are starting to pop up too.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is going to be very problematic.
Like the movie Her, for sure.
100%.
Yeah.
1 in 5 American adults have begun using AI girlfriend and boyfriend tools.
1 in 5?
1 in 5 have at least downloaded one of those applications to begin exploring.
Oh, my God.
That, more than creativity, I think we really need to be talking about and exploring what we're going to do about that. Because
that's an issue.
These AIs are going to be better listeners, more attentive, you know, blah, 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 than what a normal human relationship, which is really sticky, is all about. And so, you know, we think we have a bad relationship or understanding about what a relationship should be going into current relationships. Now, imagine if you've had an AI companion that's been, you know, the most programmatically designed companion you could possibly have. That those implications are extremely distressing, and I think that should be addressed.
I think so too. Yeah, it's Her and Ex Machina, and, you know, all come to life. I mean, I think the benefit of AI is it lets you automate a bunch of work, so you can go out and be with the people you love, and be in nature, and do the things we're meant as humans to do more of. but it's like simulating, you know, a sunset in AI. It's not as wonderful as being in Yellowstone and seeing a real sunset. Similarly with simulating, you know, love and it's yeah, that's the dark side of this technology.
It's wild. But, you know, I think, you know, for all of the very important conversations and the ways that, you know, AI can impact society in that regard, there's also so many creative opportunities for people. And that's really what we're standing for at Curious Refuge. We want people to explore these tools and then personally inside of them, get inspired and begin to chase those opportunities. And so, you know, it's an exciting time to be a creative. It's a very transformational time to be a creative, but the opportunities are only expanding. And so I would just encourage anyone listening to this podcast to begin to explore, because it's incredibly fun.
Awesome. Well, I feel like that's a great place to end. Caleb, this was awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you, as always, for listening to Brand Bods. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button today so you never miss an episode. Want to learn more about AI and share actionable strategies with other AI marketers? Join the Brand Bods LinkedIn group, a dedicated space for marketers to collaborate, learn, and trade strategies in the field of AI. Dive into vibrant discussions, get inspired by innovative approaches, and be part of a network that's shaping the future of AI in marketing. Don't miss out. Visit brandbotspodcast.com/LinkedIn today and join. That's brandbotspodcast.com/LinkedIn. I'll see you there.